fight and learn how to get it right in his house, brothers and sisters. Let the world hear these things. We talked about that praise. Praise God when we throw in the house of the dead. And a praise in heaven, the folks outside will be drawn by your praise. Give them praise the Lord. I enjoy putting this on. I'm telling you what, I'm excited. Anybody here know I'm excited? I got something for you that's going to be now. You're going to have to decide whether you want to be or not be. It's a story like Jesus went in and saw three people, and one person, he had a leg that was hurt, and Jesus walked over and he healed his leg. Just like that. And the next person had a shoulder that was hurt, and Jesus walked over and he touched and healed the shoulder. Well, the next person had a back that was hurt. And Jesus walked over and he said, no, no, don't touch me. I'm on disability. He won't touch you if you don't want him. He won't make you happy if you don't want him. He won't anything if you don't want him. He said, well, you know, I'm going to turn and walk away. So you got to choose to be the person that you want to have that shoulder healed. Or you want to be the person to say, oh, I'm on disability. I'm going to live my life and just fall down and stand up and fall down and stand up. Not be able to sleep and fight with my neighbors and say, that's the kind of life I want to lead. My friends will be happy, my children, amen. We're getting started, and we're sitting up, and George was saying, George Mark was saying, oh, you're talking to me, and my guitar wasn't working in the amplifier. I had everything plugged in right. And I looked at George, and he looked at me, and I reached down, and I turned the amplifier on. And he said, well, got to do that with Jesus, amen? You really want this medicine today. I'm telling you, this is going to, I'm so excited. Let's stand up and say to the Lord, let's do that song as an anchor, remember? One day at a time. At the end. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this beautiful day. Let's pray our Lord Jesus, our son. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the power, and the kingdom, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Give him praise this morning, in Jesus. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, just enjoy the day. Stay with me today, because it's a peaceful day. It's a day that's going to change your life, and each week we're going to talk more about the name of Jesus. Amen? Jesus. The wonderful name of Jesus. Amen? Miracles in the name. When you're scared at night, the name of Jesus takes that fear away. When you have a bad dream, the name of Jesus takes you out of that bad dream. Amen? Jesus is a healer. He loves us so much, and he's got so much for us. And when you hear what we're going to talk about today, I pray that your heart says, I need more of that. And you're going to need it on your own. When I read today with you, and we read together, you're going to feel moved. You're going to feel that spirit. You're going to feel a special calming that you didn't know. The Bible says, peace that surpasses our own understanding. I know I want that all the time, because my understanding gets in the way of my peace. Amen? But today is a special day. Hallelujah. Let's read together through the Bible in your bulletin. Psalm 57, for man is angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. And I know a lot of people say pray about a hedge of protection and the angels around your car when you're driving, around your family. We do that all the time because God sends angels to protect us. Amen? That's what they're for. Hallelujah. This is a beautiful, this is from the Psalm 57. This is so beautiful. This should give you comfort. But only when you start to drink the water of this psalm, you get the comfort. Amen? I can read it to you, and then you can forget. But this sound is full of comfort. And those of you that have been, how many here have gone through trials? How many times have you said in your life, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I don't know how I'm going to face this. And then you got through it. That was God carrying you through. God loves you. He wants you to feel his love. Listen to what it says. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. No matter how bad you think things are getting in the world, whatever you're thinking, how bad it's going to be, God will bless you in the midst of that. Amen? He will bless you over your enemies. Amen? That's the God that we love. That's the God that you should serve and want to know more about. Amen? That's the God. He wants to lift you up. No matter how bad it is, he says, no, don't worry about that. I'm going to bless you. And then those people will say, how did you do it, Mr. God? How did you walk through that? person I see on TV, football players, baseball players, the Boston Red Sox, they say, God bless America, which we're going to do each week now. They understand that God gave them abilities, and God blesses them. Amen?
Amen.
The world needs to understand that again. That's all. That's so beautiful. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. God is so good.
All the time.
All the time? Value your blessings to our church. You all hear Valerie saying amen, hallelujah, thank you. That serves God, that makes me in my heart good. So don't stop, okay?
Amen.
Hey, brother. In our church, we ask for prayer testimonies. That means if you respond, you're part of the church. In fact, you are the church. Amen?
Amen.
So we need prayer testimonies, anything that God did for you this week. If you think you want to share with other people to lift them up, maybe somebody's going through the same thing, or maybe a depression or something, anybody, that's what the testimonies are about. And don't feel like you have to. Don't feel like you're pressured that you want to say anything. But when something good happens, you need to share it with your friends, amen?
Amen.
If somebody in here won the lottery this week and they won $1 million, I guarantee you will be sharing it with your friends. The simple prayer is more of God. The simple prayer is like Solomon. Lord, give me wisdom to know, to teach. Give me wisdom to love one another. Help me. Draw closer to me. That's a simple prayer. With more of God, wars with it, fighting with it. With more of God, there will be peace, peace, peace. The God of our Bible only wants to bless us, to love us. Jesus gave his life for us. That's all. All the prayers in your heart, all the needs you have for your family, for your children, your grandchildren, whatever the things you're going through with the doctor, with your job, he's got those needs. All you need is more of God. The character of Jesus. The person of Jesus inside you, the Holy Spirit shining through you, changes people. You find favor with people. You don't understand it. That's why we simply need more of God. So God, come into our hearts. Into our lives. Lord, we promise that we're going to love you more. We're going to lean on you more. Trust you more. We're going to make this house, your house, Lord, shine with praise and to your glory, Lord. We're going to make this house shine with joy, Lord, to your praise. We're going to tell others about you because we don't want to hide the good that we've received from you. We want to share it because you have enough for everything. Lord, when you bless us, and you bless our nation, and you bless this world, even those who don't believe in you, and don't believe in you, they get blessed too. They get blessed too, Lord. They receive some of that. Maybe they never acknowledge it, maybe they never call on you, Lord, but they still receive because you bless everyone. Lord, we thank you for who you are. Thank you for who you are. We just love you in this house. We ask you to fill this house with your angels and your presence, Lord. We invite you to sit here with us, Lord, and join us, and rejoice with us, Lord. That's what we ask. Jesus. But you're going to want to take it home and show your family and read it again. Sometimes, you know, I can read things, but when you read it, you see it more. Amen? You comprehend it more. But this is just amazing, especially with a holiday coming up. A holiday, amen? With the holiday coming up on this month, what is it? Thanksgiving. All my life, I thought it was because of pilgrims. And it might have been, amen? But I want to read this to you. Maybe this is to be a big surprise as it was. Hallelujah. Sit back and relax for just a minute or two. Thank you, Lord. October 3rd, 1789. Anybody here? Mark Bush, who was there? Mark. I love Mark. No relation. Pavilion. At the request of Congress, Washington establishes November 26th as a national holiday of thanks to God for the successful establishment of the Constitution and government and the liberties the citizens enjoy under the new United States. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of God, Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me, the need, ladies and gentlemen, is George Washington, to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer, to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peacefully to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I, George Washington, do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th of November, next to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being, who is the beneficent author of all good that was, that is, or that will be. That we may then all unite in rendering unto Him our sincere and humble thanks for His kind care and protection of the people of this country, previous to their becoming a nation, for the signal and the manifold mercies and the favorable interpositions of this province, which we experienced in the course of the conclusion of the late war, for the great degree of tranquility, for union, and for plenty, which we since have enjoyed, for the peaceable and rational manner in which we have been enabled to establish constitutions of government for our safety and happiness, and particularly the one, the national one, now lately instituted, for the civil and religious liberty with which we are blessed, and the means which we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge and in general for all the great and various favors which He has been pleased to confer upon us. And also, that we may then unite in the most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations, and beseech Him to pardon our national and our other transgressions, to enable us all, whether in public or in private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all people, by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws, discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed, to protect and guide all sovereigns and nations, all sovereign nations, especially such as have shown kindness to us, and to bless them with good government, peace, and concord, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue, and to increase of science among them and us, and generally to grant unto all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as He alone knows to be best. George Washington. For our country, 1789. A public day of thanksgiving and prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Why are we blessed? Right there. We ask God. We invite God. We build it on God. Amen.
Amen.
We did not build it on faith. We did not build it on a religion. Amen.
Amen.
God is not a religion. We made religions. Amen. We made denominations. God is not a denomination. Amen.
Amen.
He's God. God. And this nation understood that when we built this nation and started with those men. Hallelujah. Whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts that many signal favors of Almighty God. Hallelujah. I think that's pretty special, don't you?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. We're going to put that in the bulletin. Chuck, before you leave, I'll ask for to put that entirely in bulletin so that they can read it and see, you show other people what, you know, just the difference. The difference in life. So you can say it's right or wrong, but the difference in life. Walmart's going to be open this Thanksgiving, amen? Not right or wrong, I'm just telling you where people's hearts are today. Now, how do we know about Jesus? Y'all know about him? How do you know what he looks like? Any idea what Jesus looks like? We see his picture on Facebook, got the long hair, look like a Boston Red Sox. Don't even say it. Isaiah tells us about Jesus. We're going to start there in Isaiah. Listen to what he says. And this is Isaiah 53. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Listen to what it says, and you're going to find out who Jesus is. And for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form of comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Very interesting when you read this. He has no form of comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He wasn't Burt Reynolds. He wasn't Ron Hudson. He wasn't Elvis Presley. He looked just like you. He looked like you, David. He looked like you, Chuck. He, not that one really, that's what it was. I went a little too far with that one. He was a man of God, amen. He wasn't beautiful, but people just wanted to be with him. And we rejected him. And he saw sorrows. He saw the sins. He saw the pain. And he healed people. And he touched people. And he loved people along the way, amen. And he was gentle. But he influenced people with his kindness. He influenced people with his love. He influenced people because he gave them peace, amen. Somebody was the most sinful person. He wouldn't argue. He wouldn't point a finger. He wouldn't call them a name. He would talk to them. Amen. Tell them, I love you. I love you. It's okay. I forgive you. I forgive you. Man might not forgive you, but I will forgive you. Somebody can commit murder. And God says, I will forgive you. They will have to stay in an institution the rest of their life. That's the punishment. Amen. Amen. But this is not. Forgiveness is our sins. And I thought it's so to know that he wasn't this beautiful man that everybody just wanted, like Elvis, and everybody wanted to be there with him. No, that's not how God, that's not Jesus, amen? That's what makes him even more special. Hallelujah. I'm going to read from the book of John. Anybody got a Bible at home? Yeah, if you don't have a Bible with, you know, fingerprint, you want to read it, I suggest maybe for a Christmas present to your husband, to your wife, to your children, give them a nice Bible, a teaching Bible, with notes. I think that would be a great gift. They might not read it until February. They might not read it for a year. They might not read it in 2 years. But someday they're going to look and see it and pick it up and say, you know what, I know there's more. Never mind. You can't judge a book by its cover. Brothers and sisters, the book of John. The Bible calls John the one who Jesus loved. The other disciples don't even refer to him. They always refer to John as, oh yeah, the one who Jesus loved. When they ask Jesus, why do you let John lay in the land of God? You love John more than you love us. And he said, no, why? He said, because you let John lay his hand on your lap. And Jesus said, no, John is the only one that wanted to lay his head on my lap. Amen? I want to lay my head on his lap. I remember being in a church once, and they said, what would you do if Jesus walked in the door? Everybody said, what would you do? And everybody got down on their knees, and I was thinking to myself, I wouldn't do that. I don't want to be right. I want to hold him. I want to hug him and kiss him. I want to touch his garment. I want to hold his hand. That's what I want. That's what Jesus wants with you. He wants you to walk with him. He wants you to talk with him. Amen?
Amen.
There is peace in his words. When you read the Gospel of John, you can read the Gospel of John over and over again, and he will show you something new. You won't be confused. It's not confusing. Trust me. It's not confusing. It's peaceful. It's calming. If people had the influence of Jesus, you see the world of confrontation. You see it all the time. People get in confrontation with the police, or two people get in an argument. There's confrontation. If for one person you have the influence of Jesus, and just step back for a minute and say, wait, what's the problem? The whole issue is turned. Amen? If a cop pulls you over and the first thing you said is, what did I do? Where's the cop? You're going to get it. Amen? But if you roll your window down, turn your car off and say, hi, officer, good afternoon. All of a sudden, something changes. He can't talk to you in that. He has to back up a second and say, oh, this person respected when I'm a police officer. He turned the car off. He had an influence of Jesus. Amen? It was a peaceful reaction, and you're going to get a peaceful reaction from it. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And people are drawn to that. Let me tell you, when you got a spirit of peace and you got a spirit of God, people will be drawn to you. People that you can't believe will be drawn to you. People you thought were your enemies will come to you because they want to be around that. How many people say, I can't be around this so-and-so or that because, oh, I get upset. All they do is complain. You don't say, how many times you know somebody saying, how are you? They say, you know, there's certain people you don't want to ask that question to. How are you doing today? Because they're going to tell you. In so many ways, and when you read the book of John, just the Gospel of John, you start to see that. I did my study and I read the entire Gospel over again, and this peace just fell over me, this joy, this smile. Just listen to what he was saying, how he treated people, how he talked to people, the influence that he was, like we need to be in the world, amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. He wasn't a handsome man, he had two thousands of people here. Why? Because he had a message of hope. Amen. A message of love, a message of forgiveness, a message of prosperity. You don't want to prosper? This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, and you will prosper. Anybody have a friend that has a little hang-up saying, or they say the same thing over when they're going to say something? My wife talks on the phone to people, she'll talk to people, and she says this down to all of her, and you know, she'll say, you see what I'm saying? Did you see what I'm saying? See what I'm saying? And I listen to that and I struggle. When you read the Gospel of John, when you start reading Jesus, and his words are in red, that's how you get back in the Bible. There's a life application Bible, there's a spirit-filled Bible, you can get it at all bookstores, they're big print, they've got all kinds of notes and explanations and beautiful things that make you draw closer to God. It's a beautiful gift to give to somebody. But as I'm reading John and reading the words in red, I wrote it down 24 times when they asked him a question, he started with, most assuredly, I said. And then I asked him, when you start to read it, you'll understand it. It made me chuckle. After about the 13th time, he said, Jesus, suddenly he said, most assuredly, I say to you. I don't wonder if somebody says, why do you want to say that? I mean, I wonder if Peter Turkle said, Jesus, you know what? Why would most assuredly? Why don't you just say what it, you know why? Because it is yes, amen, and done. He says, most assuredly. He's telling you, there's it. That's it. Period. Don't laugh. No wonder. When he says, most assuredly, it means that what he's going to tell you is what it is. And there's no question about it. He's going to do what he said it is, he's going to do. Most assuredly. Amen? But it made me smile because this Jesus that some people see like so far away and some people just never draw close to him because they don't think they can. Was just like him. He wasn't handsome in that way. And he had habits that we all have. Most assuredly, he did. Hallelujah. At the time Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry and began to pluck the grain to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath. Not lawful to do. Who said? Who made the Sabbath? God made the Sabbath on the seventh day, amen? He made it to give us what?
Peace.
That means it's your day to do what you like, have a good day, stay in You know, you can't go to work, and you can't do that, and you can't help people. And I heard one guy years ago when I was sharing a house with some people. I won't mention his religion because it doesn't matter, but he told the guy that I can't pay you my rent today because it's my day of Sabbath and I can't do anything. And I'm thinking to myself, it's your day of Sabbath to do good to others, and you owe this man his rent, and you will hold it back for a day, and you're going to give God the glory for that? Amen? Man makes rules. When I was a little boy, I was afraid that I was going to go to hell. You know why? Because I didn't go to church on Sunday. Oh, I mean, we wouldn't go to if I went to my senior queen at St. Mary's and said I didn't go to church on Sunday, I was there for an hour doing all the stations of the cross and our fathers and the Hail Marys. The Lord simply says, do not forego fellowship. Amen? This day is the most important day of your week. Amen? This is where you get the food to carry you through. Hopefully we're going to start with Bible studies and do all sorts of wonderful things. But this day is your day to get fed, to grow closer to God. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus and His Father made this Sabbath for us to enjoy. Amen? To have joy. How can you have joy when all of a sudden people are putting their hand on you and putting you in bondage? Amen? Now the Pharisees, let me explain here, they were legalists. They didn't want any part of Jesus because he was going to mess up the club that they belonged to, see? They were the leaders of the club and they were the kings and they knew the Bible inside out. They're going to rule over you with the Bible, see? They're going to take scriptures and pound it into you and then they're going to go and do whatever they want to do because they can because they were rulers, see? They were legalists and they were trying to trick Jesus. They thought that they could trick him with these questions. And this is why I love Jesus. And as I read his words, I pray that this peace that I'm talking about will start coming over your spirit. I want you to listen. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, look, your disciples are doing what it's not lawful to do on the Sabbath. But he said to them, have you not read what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God and ate the showbread which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests. For have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? You say, yet I say to you that in this place there is one greater than the temple. He's talking about himself right now. And he said, but if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. But the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now when he had departed from there, he went into the synagogue. And behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And they asked him, saying, hey, Jesus, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? That they might accuse him. Then he said to them, not with confrontation, not with anger, he said to them, what man is there among you who has one sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out? Or how much more blame than is a man than a sheep? Therefore it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Then he said to the man, stretch out your hand, and he stretched it out, and it was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and plotted against him how they might destroy him. Amen?
Amen.
Listen to what Jesus says. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. How can you be able to speak good things from the abundance of the heart? The mouth speaks. Amen. When you speak from that, speaking from your heart. It says, the good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasures, brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word man may speak, they will be given account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. And I'm not telling you, that's not about arguing with somebody, that's not about a discussion you have with somebody. By your words, he's saying, whether you believe or not, those are the words he's talking about, amen? If you don't believe, you will be condemned, amen? just lovely, just the same, so beautiful. He says, Jesus is just talking. Jesus said again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in the field. Like treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. And Jesus said again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he has found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. You find a treasure. He went out and bought it, sold everything that he had, and he bought it. Amen? So when you find Jesus, you find that treasure. And everything that you did behind was left. You leave it there. You want to walk with Jesus. Amen? You want that. You found Jesus. You found it. And he sold everything that he had. Everything that he had didn't matter anymore. What mattered first was Jesus. Having Jesus. Amen? The same thing with the verse. He found the pearl. He found the pearl that he wanted. He sold all that he had. And he knew that that one pearl would be all that he ever needed. Amen? Jesus is all you ever need. Miss Panamera, Jesus is peace. His words are gentle. They're funny. He's a comedian. He's not wit. When you read about the things and how he treats people, when you think you get angry, and he turns it all around and puts it right back on, it's so witty, it's so much fun to read. Most assuredly, I say to you it is. This book of John, the Gospel of John, and the Gospel of Matthew is full of those words. If you can't sleep tonight, you get angry someday, I take that Bible that you have and open it up. Don't let me read to you. I'm reading to you here to lead you. I'm your shepherd, and I'm leading you to the food. Amen? I'm giving you food to read. But you have to go home and open up the book and just start reading his word. Don't search for it. Read the Gospel of John. Read the Gospel of Matthew. His words are in there. The parables are in there. Make you smile. See how witty, how smart he is, how he fooled those who tried to trick him. Amen? Over and over again. Next week we'll read about the Samaritan woman. That's a beautiful story sitting at the well. And Jesus sitting talking to her, the way he talked to her, the way he treated her. Amen? She left there with a spirit of joy. She left there happy. How many people want to be happy? How many people want that joy? You want that? It's all about Jesus. Jesus changes things. He changes you. And when you start to change, guess what? Everything else changes around you. Amen? You're always looking at this person has to do this. Oh, I wish this person would change. Oh, I wish. I mean, you got to say, hey, come on. You say, wait a minute. Let me change you first. Let me change you first. And everything else will follow. Amen? Hallelujah. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. But what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and he loses his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. How many want to be rewarded? How many want to be rewarded? Hallelujah. How many want to see this church rewarded? Amen. How many want to see this ministry working for God? Amen. On fire. Not with gifts, not with big words, not with all promises that we can't keep, not with bondage, but with this book. Amen. In Jesus' word. Give him praise and glory. Give Jesus praise and glory. But that is the truth. We're going to read some more of his words, some of his parables, some of the fun that he had, his wittiness. He loves you. He loves you. I implore you that I fed you today. Go home and eat the food all week long. It will put you to sleep at night when you can't sleep. It will give you peace when you're angry. It will give you a place to go. You don't have to search. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But I'm just saying, Matthew and John, stay right there for as long as you want to. Amen? Hallelujah.